So it's like, this is my chance. So, again, you know, very much connected to what, and we didn't collude, right, Zvi? Did we collude? What? Well, no, I mean, either we colluded or we did. You could say it fits. That we'll see. But collusion means, you know, did we collaborate? Did we? I don't know, you seem to be leaving some crap. Maybe we did. Okay.
He's not sure Rebbe understood the collaboration.
What?
He's not sure Rebbe understood the collaboration.
You mean that whole hour thing? No, I thought that was about the weather. Okay. So, but you mentioned the Maral, so I want to also, continue with a point of the Maral. I think, the Maral really says amazing things. He has his own, a world view, of how these things work, and they're very consistent. Even if you don't always apply them in exactly the way that he does, but the ideas that he expresses, even if you take them a little bit out of the context of his, bigger patterns, are always, incredibly insightful. And you mentioned the one about, Nisim, and, Me'ala Teva, and so on and so forth. So I just want to speak very quickly about the eighth day. Since we didn't have the... chagiga with the shaman of the pizza. We didn't have it the other day. That's why, I made a few comments about Su'uda and other things. So, but today we are having it. So, why today, from a hashkacha point of view? Shua gives credit to the Reitz office, but... So, just very quickly. So this morning in the Kriyas HaTorah, we read a much longer Kriya than of course, any other day. It's a Zos Chanukah. And, of course, on one level, it's just because, we're wrapping everything up. This is the last day of Chanukah. And, like Michael said, we want to, enjoy the vestiges of it. And, of course, being the last day, so it's also the day to finish that Parsha of the Nesi'im. And then to sum it up in the end afterwards, each Nasi, his individual contribution, and then the Torah adds it all together, not because, we're so mathematically challenged. That's the Torah's way of saying, each individual, as Chazal say, and the Ramban elaborates, wasn't also just mimicking the other party. They were all doing the same, structure, but each with their, individual nofech, which I think is also fascinating and relevant to what we're about to say and what we've said. Meaning every shevet that was bringing the same mishpadach adi alachem, and there's a tremendous advantage to that in ritual and in religious conduct, both pragmatically and I think also ideologically and ideationally. But at the same time, again, the Medrash and the Ramban and others say that each shevet according to its own kavanos, they could take the same structure. And it can mean something slightly different based on the experience and the special characteristics of each of the Nesi'im. I think that's what also makes this an amazing Kriya for each of the days of Chanukah, where there's supposed to be, as we discussed the other day, a Nofech, Chadash, every single day. Right? There's an added Ner, and then therefore, the Abu Dram's view, there's an added Hallel, right? Every full Hallel every single day, and there is... that line in the Gemara that I mentioned the other day about Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, why do you drop the Zman every day? But the Gemara also says, so let's drop the Roa, and then the Gemara says, you can't, because every day is an ace. So the idea that you have seemingly the same, but, the infusion of people's special talents, proclivities, experiences, every Shevet got its own bracha in Parshas Vayechi, and again in Vezosa bracha, we learned Sanhedrin, we talked about, every Shevet might have its own Supreme Court. Every Shevet has, status with regard to the Inyanim of Horios, Parhalim, Davrshot, Tzibor, and other things. So I think it's a great paradigm for every single day of Chanukah. And at one level, when you sum it up, so you have to finish the Parsha, and that's also why the Torah, puts it all together, because they're the same, and each one is different. And then there's a third level, and that is that they're more than the sum of their parts. So you add it up, the totality is greater than the individual cases. But so one level, you could say, well, that's the parsha we read, and there's a certain integrity to the Kriyas HaParsha. We're not going to end after eight if there were more, because there were more Nesiim. But you know, if you look at the literature, there seems to be like a consensus that the parsha of the reading of Zos Chanukah is really more than that, and that you know, it's not just a longer Kriya because we need to, you know, wrap it all up, but maybe, you know, be the wrap up, as I said, the fact that it seems the same but is different, and it's more than the sum of its parts, and the Kriya itself is something special about the last day of Chanukah. And again, there's just a lot that's been written about the special significance and status of this last day. But I think it goes further than that. Again, everybody's familiar with what, you know, was credited as the Beis Yosef's question, but of course was asked much earlier in the Tkufas HaRishonim as well, and which, you know, as we know, has spurred, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of answers. The question of why we have 8 days of Chanukah, right? We should have seven. So that, you know, and the answers that have been produced, which are not mutually exclusive, well, some of them are mutually exclusive, I guess, the ones that, you know, depend on some factual assumptions, how much oil, how much burnt, how much was put in, those kind of things. But many of the other answers are not mutually exclusive, the relationship to Muhammad, you know, the you know, to what extent is, you know, the Neis Pach HaShemen per se, or the fact that it embodies, you know, a bigger struggle. The idea of Nisan themselves as opposed to the natural world. Again, a little bit of what Tzvi was talking about, meaning, you know, when oil burns naturally, you know, so the Gemara says that too is a miracle. We just, you know, take it for granted. And, you know, we should appreciate that, meaning the natural order. And, you know, it's what the Chassidi Ashkenaz used to call Zecher Asal Niflosov, the doctrine of Zecher Asal Niflosov, meaning the miracles that happen, you know, rarely, but that, you know, reflect that, you know, the natural things that we take for granted every day, you know, are also miracles, maybe bigger miracles, and so on. So there are numerous answers that are given to this question, and the question, therefore, is very, very important. But I thought always that there's another aspect to mention on the Vizos Chanukah Day, and that is that really the question is, why do we need this eighth day? It's not just why do you need 8 days, it's why do you need, you know, this eighth day, particularly since, you know, it's not just a good question, you know, there was enough oil for one day. It's also that the phenomenon of an eight-day holiday is basically this, you know, this is it, pretty much. Of course, either it's it or it's not. Depends how you look at the, you know, Chag HaSukkos, Shmini Atzeres combination, but that just proves the point, meaning, you know, Pazar Kashav, Shmini Atzeres, we're not going to talk about Shmini Atzeres right now, but, you know, Kosha Lai Predaskem, but, you know, we understand that it is, there's an element of 8 days, and there's an element of 7 and 1, but the idea of an eight-day holiday is really not just simple matter. So, when you combine that with the question, which is, well, really it should have been 7 days, and 7 days is just a more natural, like, unit for holidays. You know, it's a week unit, makes more sense in the particular context. So having this eighth day and it also being problematic in terms of the technical nace is an additional focus. And I think I mentioned the other night, for the people here, that the Orchas Chaim suggests that the 8 days, again, in answering that, one of the Rishonim was asking that question, you know, there was enough oil for one day, is that it's connected to Shmonas Yemei Mila, which is a fascinating suggestion, especially given that Mila is one of the things that was a target of the Gzeiras Yevanim, according to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Dafites Amud Aleph. But to me, it also gets you thinking, you know, about, again, this idea of 8 days. And again, I mentioned the other night also that the emphasis on the 8 days, I was talking more about it in terms of a period and being kind of a quasi Yom Tov Moed, not just stringing together the amount of days and what you do on them, but that there's like a not Kedushas Hazman in the sense of Isra Malacha or Kiddush, but, you know, without that, a kind of a Kedushas Hazman to Chanukah, that even you may even make a Zman for it without the Neiros. According to some, that's a radical view, but one which, you know, certainly might be in the mainstream when you do light and say things connected to the Zman. So the point is that when you think about it as Shmona Simei Mila, and then you think that the language that is used in connection with Chanukah always emphasizes the eight-day-ness of it, and in a very noun-like focused way, like Shmonas Yimei Chanukah, which some people know it as well, meaning not Shmona Yamim, but Shmonas Yimei, meaning the unit of eight. And, you know, again, I mentioned the other night, Yimei Chanukah Tmanya Inun. It sounds like it's not just that's what it happens to be, but that the number eight itself is significant. And maybe it's significant, you know, only for Yimei Mila, and maybe Yimei Mila is just an example of what Shmona really, really is all about. I mentioned the other day, right on 2 days ago when we were talking, that there seems to be a lot of evidence that, you know, the din of Mahadrin and the din of, you know, Malin, Velomaridin, isn't just, you know, typically these are perceived as like, you know, kind of peripheral, you know, tertiary, you know, kind of issues, and they apply in other areas as well. But I was suggesting that, you know, when it comes to Chanukah, that, you know, if you're going to make an overlas yason according to Rabbeinu Yonah of, you know, Birchas HaRoeh, Dafka before the new Nair, and if you're going to say Halal every day justified by the new Nair, you know, and so on and so forth, the truth is that every day, the way we light, most people light, right, we every day start with the new Nair, and then we go, you know, backwards. Lavush and others think that that's very intentional. So even though, you know, we don't do some of the other radical or exotic things, but just every day, when you think about it, we're always starting with the new. The Neri Shubeso of every day isn't the first one; it's the last one. So, the Tmanya Inun and the Shmona Sayamin, just like the Nesiim, you know, is something which is, you know, Mishpadach Ad Yalacham, another candle for another day. But that Hosafa, the Malam Bakodesh and the Mahadrin and what it represents, is also added. We look at the whole period as, you know, it's we're doing the same thing and we're doing it, you know, in a nuanced way with additions every single day. And that's part of what this Tekufa really is. And that's why if you mess up the order, there can be discussions, you know, in the Rishonim about it. They don't end up lahalacha thinking, you know, that you've lost your count or that you have to do, you know, a 7 and an 8 on the same day. But the discussion itself is fascinating. So I think that part of this idea of really having, you know, with full integrity, 8 full days. And again, the question is, why the 8th? And the Maral was very troubled by this. Not by these questions that I'm asking, those are mine, but, like, you know, by the number 8, Kedarko. He is troubled by the problem of typically, you know, the default category of a multi-dayed celebration would be a week, because that's, you know, a day is a unit and a week is a unit and a month is a unit and a year is a unit, but not typically 8 days. And we do have 8 days, again, especially in his systematic view of things, that is really peculiar. So again, you could say Shmona Simei Mila, or you could say Shmona Simei Mila is part of the question, right? That's a different paradigm, and you know, why is it? Are we only using it because of the role of Mila, technically, or I was suggesting the other night, Mila symbolically, or both? I think both. Or is it, you know, in addition, a third point? You know, again, this idea of the eight. So I think that there are two things to focus on. First is that eight has a connotation, not the Maral for the moment, of you know, the unit and then going into the next unit. And maybe that's part of the intent. And more particularly, as the period of Hanukkah winds down. Again, some years ago, I was able to talk about the idea of Mosar Sheman Shebener, which is a very interesting issue that comes up, particularly with regard to Neiros Hanukkah. When you have leftover Shemen, and the question is there a din of Muktzah L'mitzvaso or not? The Shiltos, and there's a whole debate and different formulations. Should there be a din of Muktzah L'mitzvaso in Neiros Hanukkah? And at the time, I was trying to project the idea that part of Hanukkah's character and legacy, again, let me make it clear, you could say that there's a technical halachic question. It has nothing to do with Hanukkah per se, but it's just a hechetimtzi of, you know, you use a certain chefza for the mitzvah, and then, you know, the question is the hook the mitzvah, so what do you do with it? And certainly that's how some people treat it. I thought there was a lot of evidence at the time that the idea of Moser, Shemen, Shebener is something that is inherent to the nature of Hanukkah. And that what it's really about is the idea of, you know, not just having, as we find in other festivals, but each in a different way, not just having, you know, like a little bubble of time a week in which you experience certain things, but like finding a mechanism to accentuate that, you know, that you carry, you know, you don't keep lighting candles, that wouldn't be good for anything, but you find a way to carry the message of very powerful zmanim right beyond, and to show that they endure. So a way of demonstrating the enduring impact of Hanukkah in terms of our religious consciousness, our appreciation of Avodas Hashem, our understanding of Hallel, and our understanding of Nisim and of the value of Avodas Hashem is through the notion of Huktzah L'mitzvaso that is very, a little mechudash, you know, when you think about it in connection with this particular din, but exactly to make the point that that the impact does endure. So by having 8 days instead of 7 days, you know, when you could have had 7 days, you know, because that technically seems to be what the miracle was, right? And that's a more typical paradigm of a Chag Doraisa, let's say Sukkot and Pesach, Shmini Atzeres mostly being Bifnei Atzmo. So the eighth day is a way of saying that, you know, when it comes to Hanukkah, it's also important, right, to move it beyond. I think if that's true, by the way, of Shmini Atzeres as well, which is why the Shmini Atzeres is different than the previous seven. I mean, Kriya Satorah is different, but that's not for now. But that's one. The second point, though, is I think the point of the morale. But I would just like, you know, adapt it a little more, and that is, again, very much connected to some of the things that Svi was talking about. He just didn't mention this one particular point. Maral says whenever the number 8 in a period, time period, is used, it's a way of accentuating that what you're, you know, really celebrating or commemorating is something that comes from the spiritual and not from the physical world. Or something which is keneged hateva, and that's how he explains Shmona Yemei Mila generally all over the place. Again, the morale is a very, very, very creative but also very consistent thinker. So he repeats his, you know, he adds to them, he changes them a little bit, but you know, his big themes are just repeated, which is good. It shows that they're true. So whenever he finds the number 8 in a celebration or in whatever, this is his view. That's because the unit is 7. So if it's beyond 7, that's a way of saying this is something that doesn't really belong in this world. This is something that belongs, you know, to the world of the spirit, and so on. But again, that part of it, you know, I would just like adapt just a little bit in light of things that we, you know, what Svi was talking about, Michael was talking about, and what I've been talking about. And that is that really, in a way, Hanukkah, you know, is a perfect expression and application of that idea. The Rambam says in Perek Dalid, Halacha Yud Beis, that mitzvah Neiros Hanukkah, right, chavivahi ad ma'ot. It's just an interesting expression. I mean, we've talked about it in the past. That's a very beloved or endearing mitzvah. And I think I mentioned the other day that Tosis also uses that expression quite independently, and it's just an unusual expression. Right? Tosis in Sukkah, Mem Vav and Aleph, when he says, why is there a Birchas HaRoeh, says because maybe the reason is because this is a mitzvah which is Ma'od Chaviv or something on, to that effect. Did I bring it? Yeah. It's just striking, again, they didn't, you know, depending on who you believe, like I was going to say, like me and Tzvi, the Bali Tosis and the Rambam didn't collude. Right, HaRoeh Ner Shel Chanukah Tzorech Levarech, B'Shar Mitzvos Gonula V'Sukkah Lo Takinu, Ela Gabei Ner Chanukah, Mishum Chavivus Hanes, V'Gam Mishum Sheish Kama Bnei Adam, and so on, Shein Lehem Bad, which is also fascinating, because if the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Ner Shaveso, and there are people who don't have homes, so, I mean, if that people don't have Dalad Minim, you don't take Rimon in a parish, right? Also Sukkah topic. So people don't have a home, and they can't light, so you have to... You have to create a Birchas HaRoeh for them. Every Jew has to be able to outlet in some way some sort of a commemoration of Chanukah. L'chadchila through Hadlaka, right? B'di'eved through Re'iya. According to the Me'iri, you know, b'di'eved, right? Even without either Hadlaka and Re'iya. That's an amazing thing. But either way, this idea of Chavivus HaMitzvah is something that the Rambam and Bali Tosis both say independently. And it's a very, every mitzvah is chaviv, right? Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'zakos Es Yisrael, Lefika Chirvalem Toru Mitzvos. We look at mitzvos not as burdens, but as opportunities. And what does it mean to say that mitzvah Ner Chanukah, mitzvah chavivahi ad ma'od, b'tzar chadam li'zarbo, k'dei lo dianes l'hosif b'shevach hakel, v'hodoyalo, Ala Nisim She'asalanu. That's the halal and the hodah part of. So, what do we mean by this? So, we mean, in addition to any other mitzvah, is that the saga of Chanukah is a saga in which prevention from doing making illegal the avodas Hashem in all of its aspects. You know, Lashkicham Tarasecha. Right, the prohibition to mention Shem Hashem, with all that that implies. These are not narrow things. These are all, whatever the actual program was, and I think it's highly significant. In the end of the day, there are really two ways to look at it. You could look at it really narrowly and say, "Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that." You know, and in theory, when you look at things very narrowly. And the alternative is endangering your life, sakanas nefashos. So you usually say v'chai b'hem v'lo sheyamos b'hem, right? Because life is very important. When you look at the bigger picture, right? If you chip away and you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do the next thing, we call that usually a shas hashmad or shas hagzera. That's the reason that it triggers an obligation of yaharig v'yavor. Three Harig Vayavars. One is the Gimel Averos, very understandable, understood in different ways, but each way understandable. Bifar Hesya, it's also understandable. Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem Barabim. And then there's the third one, which is called Shas Hashmad, or Shas Hagzera. It's interesting, in the Gemara, there is no Mokar for Shas Hashmad. No Mokar given. There is a Mokar given for the Gimel Averos. There is a makar given for Kiddush and Chil Hashem v'Rabim, Nikdashti v'Soch b'nei Yisrael, but there's no makar for Shas Hashmad. They don't even ask for a makar. It's a very strange thing. And there's a debate what Shas Hashmad is, and that's a whole topic that I don't want to get into right now. But what I do want to say is that when the Rambam says in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, the first thing that he tells you about the Xeros of Yavon, the Bayi Sheni Kishimalka Yavon Xeros al Yisrael, Bitlu Daitam. He says, Bitlu Daitam, Velohi Nichos on Lasset Batoru B'mitzvahs. So, why isn't that superfluous? Bitlu Daitam means he canceled or outlawed the religion. He wouldn't let them, study Torah or do mitzvahs. So, isn't that the same thing? I mean, it is the same thing, obviously. So, what does he gain by seemingly repeating? But the words, batlu daitam, is the way that the Rambam in Perikei Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Halacha Gimel, it's the way that he signifies Shas Hashmad. Rambam says here, "V'chol adorim ha'elu shelo b'shas Hashmad." Shas Hashmad, who kishiyamod melech rasha kinevuchadetzar, the chavera v'yigzar shmad al Yisrael levatel daitam, o mitzvah min haMitzvos yehareg val yavor afilo lachas mishar mitzvos bein nenas betochiyud bein nenas bein olivin goyim, etc. So the expression batel daitam, at least occurred to me, which appears in both places, is very, very significant. Rambam saying this is the background here. Is Shas Hashmad. And you have to know what Shas Hashmad is. Shas Hashmad is, looking at it narrowly, you would think Yavor ve'al Yehorik v'chai b'hem. Take the bigger picture, what we'll call it spiritual quality of life, right? It's Yehorik v'al Yavor, and I'm adding Yehorik v'al Yavor without a makar. Why without a makar? I mean, it's the biggest chiddush, presumably, of the three on the surface. If you need a makar for them, you need a makar for this. But I think the answer is, that, you know, once you have a makar for them, once you know there is something called the Yehorik v'Yavor, and that it is required for them, well, then this becomes axiomatic. It becomes self-evident. Because really what it's saying is that there is something called, you know, life and quality of life. And we recognize that. And we recognize that bitul daitam is, in a bigger sense, not just, you know, each one narrowly, not this, not that, not the next. Once you start saying not this, not that, not the next thing too much, right? You're you know, what's it to you? You kill somebody, you know, with a thousand stab wounds. You know, that's a crueler, you know, death in one respect. So quality of life dictates that when you're facing bitul daitam, that you respond Yehorik v'Yavor without a makar, because you don't need a makar. So lahashkicham torasacha ulaaviram michukei ritzonacha, you know, of the Alanisim are really basically telling us this. They're saying this is a bigger assault. Lahashkicham torasacha is, you know, it's not a memory, you know, assault. It's you know, you want to make Torah and Torah life right into a memory, right? Something that, you know, you know, kind of we owe to another generation, out of guilt, out of memory, out of nostalgia, right? And that is not what Mesorah, and that's certainly not what Yadus is. That's what the Mishnah says in Avos, that Hashocheach, you know, Divrei Torah is Mechayim Nafsho. And what it means there is Shocheach as a verb. If you do things that cause you to be shokeach, or allow yourself to be shokeach. If you treat Torah as a fossilized, nostalgia-driven, you know, or guilt-driven religion, your religious obligation, so that's the end of it. It has to be connected to the experience of Maimed Har Sinai, and the bracha of B'chai Olam Nata B'Sochenu, and the sense of B'chiras Yisrael, talked about in our Birkas HaTorah ideas, and No Seinat Torah, right, in the sense of the present and the future. If it's not living and it's not in the present and it's not relevant to the future, then it's not going to exist. And that's what the danger, essentially, I think, of Shas Hashmad is all about. So in a real sense, we say that, you know, Mitzvos Neiros Chanukah, that's, I think, L'Havirah Michukai Ritzonecha, too. I mentioned the other night that it's, you know, the inner logic of Halacha, not, you know, not just pure rationalism, but it's a higher plane, right? Trying to understand the Rabbeinu Shalom's Haskel v'Yadoa Osi, and Zeidem v'Yad Oske Sarasacha. If you take all that away, you don't have much left. You don't certainly have anything, enough left to make life really worthwhile. So, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od, meaning this, you know, miracle, which highlighted the return from this kind of, you know, desolate, you know, spirituality, a spirituality that was, you know, a memory. And, you know, where the underpinnings of spirituality as a concept, lo b'chayo v'lo b'choach, ki im beruchi, were being challenged. Not just the spiritual, you know, salvation, but the the salvation of spirituality, one could say, that triggers this response of mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. But in a way, so maybe that is why you have to have 8 days, even though, you know, in one respect it is a 7-day miracle, and in another respect, you know, the natural time unit for festivals is 7 days. It's a week. It's a davar shaleh. But in addition to being enduring, the point is that you want it to be unnatural. You want it to be super, because the whole point is to explain that, you know, what makes nature important, what makes the 7 days important, is the fact that there can be an 8-day holiday. So Zos Chanukah, and, you know, again, this idea of, you know, the Nesiim who are Mishpat Echad, but the Nesiim who are different, and then the, you know, the integration of the whole that's more than the parts, and everything that goes with Zos Chanukah, and the 8th day, the final day, where you reach the, I guess, the height of the, you know, Chiddush, you know, Hanes of every single day that preceded it, and reaching, you know, to this number, which also, of course, is part of the response to the Beis Yosef's question, meaning that even the first day is a miracle, and that the first day is a certain kind of special opportunity. So it isn't just, you know, there's really 7 days, but we're making the point of the 8th. Because, and for the reason that we're making this point on the 8th, we also look at all 8 days as really being miraculous. So that makes it not just Shmona Yamim, but Shmonas Yamim, or Tamanya Inun. And in the end, it really, I think, justifies exactly, you know, what it is and why the end, you know, is so critical and so important. So just to conclude, in the Kriya this morning, you know, we go, you know, into the Parshas Baloscha, right? And from the Chanukah Sanasim to Baloscha, the Ramban has a very famous comment where he, you know, Chazal say that, you know, Aaron HaKohen had a Chalisha Sadas because he, you know, they just did this whole Chanukah Samizbeach with the Nesiim. And, you know, his Shevet was omitted from the whole thing. So he felt, you know, excluded, as if, you know, there was a spiritual opportunity that he was excluded from. And he was, you know, a little bit depressed, I guess. So so the Rabbeinu Sholem said to him, according to Chazal, you know, don't worry, you know, there are bigger and better things for you. And those bigger and better things, you know, are, you know, Baloska Saneros, which is why Aaron is specifically mentioned, even though you don't necessarily need a Kohen Gadol, you know, to do the Hadlaka of the Neros, of the menorah. But Aaron is mentioned in this context. So that's the Medrash. And then the Ramban says, I don't really get it, I don't understand it. There were many things that required Kohanim in the Mikdash, not just the menorah. And, you know, there could have been 10 other ways to mollify Aaron the Kohen Gadol specifically, and Aaron the head of, you know, the Kohanim, you know, more generally. You know, so why Dafka the menorah? What about the Ketores? And what about, you know, numerous other... So Ramban says that it's a reference to the Chashmonaim. Basically, what Aaron HaKohen was told was, you know, don't have Chalishas Hadas. You know, one day, you know, your descendants, led by another Kohen Gadol, as we read in Alanisim, right, will, you know, will preside over, you know, the menorah and the miracle of the menorah in the aftermath of the Gzeiros Yavon. And that's supposed to mollify Aaron HaKohen. So I always thought that what that means is that you know, the whole Chazal say that the Chanukah Samizbeach and the role of the Nesiim was an outgrowth of them having, you know, had a misconception and therefore missed a spiritual opportunity in the context of the Mishkan. That in the Mishkan, the Torah spells Vahanasiim without a yud, Vahanasiim Nun Sin Aleph Mem, right? With the yud, because what they said was, you know, let everybody donate and we'll make up the deficit. You know, come to us when you're finished. And lefikach, you know, chisru mishma. So that's you know, many people speak about it, have different understandings. My understanding of it was that, you know, there's nothing so terrible about saying, you know, we guarantee the deficit. But it does basically turn, you know, what was supposed to be like a very exuberant, you know, opportunity, you know, into kind of a pragmatic, you know, result. Basically, they said, listen, you know, if you need us, we'll fill in, and we'll fill in even more than our part. But why didn't they see this as something that they wanted to do, right? So why didn't they embrace this as an opportunity of Avodas Hashem? So they were criticized for that. And then when it came to the Chanukah Samizbeach, right, they were up, you know, they were front and center. And again, especially according to Chazal and the Ramban and the others, they were like, you know, they were contributing each according to his own special personality, and so on. So then Aaron HaKohen, you know, looked at that and he said, you know, but where are the Kohanim, you know, in this whole process? And the answer was, according to Ramban's reading of it, you know, the ultimate expression of this kind of chavivus hamitzvah, or total appreciation of what Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakeh sitzar lefikach hirbalem Torah mitzvos is all about, is in the Chanukah story. Because having experienced lashkicham tarasecha la'aviram b'chukei ritzonecha, and then appreciating, you know, what may have been in some respect a superfluous miracle, according to some of Farshim, namely the tahara of the shemen to allow for a proper hadlakas neiros in the mikdash, that it was pinuei chalecha, you know, v'hidliku neiros b'chatzros kodshecha, but having appreciated exactly what that meant in the context of you know, that period of spiritual desolation, what it meant for the concept of Avodas Hashem, the concept of spirituality and everything that goes with it. So that's the ultimate, I guess, exuberance. And that was, you know, that's the last little parsha about the menorah, and the way that Ramban understood it is what we read, you know, in the Kriya of Zos Chanukah. So again, as we wind down, so a few more hours, it's I think important to understand not only that Chanukah lasts 8 days, but that it really is a Tamanya Inun, an 8 day holiday, precisely because every day there's an added Nofech. Seeing that as part of the integrated whole unit makes that more special, and that in the end, the number 8 itself, you know, again, the Maharal means it in a very specific way, consistent with his whole understanding, systematic understanding. But even, you know, just to take it out of context a little bit and understand it in this way here, in the context of, you know, lo v'chayo v'lo b'koach ki im beruchi, as a way of life, in a way, then asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, we can appreciate that not only, you know, the nes and the miracle and the hallel and each day, but especially the unit of 8 days is something that is also a reflection of this very high ambition. Okay, so we should bench, I guess, and then we'll.